With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
If you've been listening to The Crunch with Cam Slater, you would have heard Simon O'Connor on the program. And Simon is a New Zealand, or was a New Zealand politician and a former member of the New Zealand House of Representatives for the National Party. He represented the Tāmaki electorate between 2011 and 2023. He's not there now, but it wasn't too long ago that he was. And Simon joins us on RCR Breakfast for a special reason. First of all, welcome, Simon. Nice to meet you. It's the first time I've had an opportunity to chat with you, though I've been aware of you and I've listened to you on Cam's show. But this morning we're here to announce something. What is it?
Well, firstly, Paul, thanks for having me on. I'm someone who's followed you in the best sense of that word, followed you for a while, so it's lovely to chat. Well, look, the announcement I'm joining RCR. I'm taking up a host slot, not in competition of your good self, by no means.
Right. May the best talent win, you know.
I'll give up now.
Oh, come on. Yeah, well, that's wonderful news, Simon. That's great because, well, obviously that means that, you know, we're growing, expanding faster, stronger, better, bigger, all those things. And it's great to have someone like you come on the host team. It's fantastic.
Oh, look, I'm really excited. It was an opportunity. Well, as I say, excited, really good to take it up. Going to be on a Friday morning from 10 a.m. We're calling it at this time Speak Free. And that sort of represents me quite a bit, actually, Paul. I'm someone who loves ideas, all sorts of ideas. So I'm looking forward to interviewing a whole host of people on a range of topics, hopefully of interest to listeners.
Bit of background. You're from the north, right?
I am. Whangarei is home for me and where my folks still live.
Yep. And very interesting in terms of politics, right? Especially the last election. That was an interesting local battle.
Oh, it certainly was. And, you know, speaking for myself, you know, you go in to win, but I've also got a personality that the moment I lost, it was like a switch was turned off. And I must say, I feel quite liberated, although I had to reintroduce myself to my wife and stepkids. Like, hi, I'm Simon. You might remember me from 12 years ago.
Right. Is that really what it's like? I mean, we can joke about it, but the demands, how do you manage those demands?
I think badly. I think any MP that tells you they can balance their work and personal life is probably slightly deluded, but no offense to my now former colleagues. It's really difficult. I mean, it's a life we choose. It's said in humor, but like most humor, there's a significant element of truth. You're just just under half the year physically away from home. And then even when I was back in Auckland, the eastern suburbs where I live, you're not here often. You're out, talks, meetings. So it's a hard life, but one really importantly that we choose to do it.
I'm interested to ask you about this. I'm looking, it's in the wiki notes. I hope that's okay with you and put it right if it's not right. You completed training to be a Catholic priest, which involved working on the island of, what is it? Tavanui.
Taviuni.
Taviuni. They have their pronunciation, don't they? In Fiji for 2 years, vocational training and more, chaplaincy at Mount Eden Prison and Waiuru Army Base hospices. Boy, that's got to be a big part of your life.
Oh, a significant part. A really significant part. So I went in my early years, I'd done 1 year at university. So I did 9 years training. I was about to be ordained and in my case, obviously said no, decided it wasn't for me. And partly, Paul, because I was getting a bit too political and one shouldn't be priest and politician. So, but a remarkable time. I don't regret a day of the training, but I don't regret leaving. And a big part of it, you just touched on, I got to meet extraordinary people. So yeah, 2 years living in Fiji, learning the culture, the language, actually getting exceptionally sick decision.
What happened there?
The early months between heat, probably some food poisoning, heat stroke, a terrible combination. Let's just say, because this is a family show, lots of stuff was coming out, lots of places,
right,
until the point
saying.
Until the point I was collapsed And fortunately, one of my, they call them confreres, someone I worked with found me at about 2 a.m. and got me to hospital. But the great thing about it, not that it happened, but I had to make a decision to stay and to be looked after by the people of Fiji. So I went over going, oh, yes, I'm a well-trained New Zealander ready to come and help. I had to learn to be helped by them. So it was a marvelous experience.
Yeah.
Looking back, not at the time.
We'll get to what's coming up on the show, but politics. Do you go in thinking you can make some sort of difference? This is what I hear all the time, and I don't know much about it really, apart from hearing things like this. But the system grinds you down over time, and you kind of end up being cookie-cutter politician, let's say. Not what you, or not with the intensity that you first came in. Is that how it was for you?
I think it's a mostly accurate description. I certainly went in wanting to make a difference. I certainly think I did make a difference. And I didn't go in too naively. I'd been, in my case, part of the National Party for a long time before Parliament, working and supporting other MPs. So I sort of saw that enthusiasm they went in with, but little change. So I went in with eyes wide open. Wasn't going to be a major transformation. But you're also correct. It does grind you down. It's quite a toxic environment. And if you're not a particularly ambitious person, and I'm not, I just like to do what I can to help. It's a big part of my life. You know, even that whole priestly stuff, it's probably no surprise. You do run up against those who are just ambitious to get ahead. Anything goes. I'm not talking anything corrupt, but leaking, briefing against all of that stuff, it's toxic.
Machiavellian moves, let's say.
Yes, though sometimes lacking the grace and the sophistication of Machiavelli.
Well, it is New Zealand. Yes.
That's true. That's very true.
All right. Well, that's interesting. So before we get to the show, state of the world, and I know that's a big picture question from me, but where do you think we're at? I mean, you're coming on board for a particular reason, and we're here for a particular reason, because we want to at least have some, you know, seat at the table on information and sort of building communities. How do you see the world right now? A lot of people say we're at some kind of inflection point. Is that too overblown, or do you think that?
No, I think we're at quite a dangerous time, and we haven't been in this sort of space for a while. I don't want to over-egg that, but we have a Western society, which New Zealand's part of, undermining itself. We've lost confidence in the very values and systems which underpin us. So free speech, for example, people are getting cancelled and abused left, right, and centre, you know, notions of democracy. So the West is undermining itself. And at the same time, Paul, we're seeing the growth of authoritarian regimes. It doesn't matter if it's communist China or Russia and others. So the world is in a dangerous place. And so it's one of the reasons I'm wanting to get engaged and why I keep talking into this space, trying alongside a few others to say, hey, guys, we've got to wake up. Should add to that too, and we all know it, the last few years here in New Zealand has understandably undermined trust in politicians, not that it was ever very high, but trust in politicians and our health system, all of that has been undermined by government and media behaviour. And so I think we've got to speak into that to hopefully turn things around.
Can you give me or us any inside baseball on why no one fronted up to that front door of Parliament? You know, that's a big question for our listeners, and they are always asking. We're always asking that question. If you were there, maybe you could give us some hint at why everybody was in that sort of lockstep.
No, happy to do so. And look, I've been up front on RCR and other places before that, you know, didn't go out. I'd have to say, and would say it at the time to my colleagues, was happy to go out. But what was happening is, I suppose in those first few days, there was a lot of uncertainty in the Parliament, right across the parties. The advice, if you will, coming from police and others was uncertain. So there was hesitation right from the start. And no politician likes to step out on their own often. So there was the initial hesitation. Then for better or worse, decisions were made higher up that actually no one really should be going out. And put really simply, and personalizing it, someone like myself then has to make the decision, is this the particular hill to die on? And whether your listeners accept this or not, for me to have gone out, for example, may have been celebrated by some, but I would have been completely eviscerated, as would have other MPs who I knew were keen to go out. Their careers would have been over. They'd have been eviscerated by colleagues, parliamentarians, and the media, and then good for nothing. And so that just got worse and worse as time went on. The longer no one went out, the higher the consequence for anyone who did. So that's a quick insight to some of the dynamics at play.
But there's also the fact that we're supposed to be free people, and you represent not your colleagues, but the people who voted for you, some of them probably on that lawn.
Oh, I was bumping into my constituents as I was out and about. So a number of us didn't go into the camp itself, but right. I was bumping into constituents of mine on Lambton Quay and the Terrace and elsewhere, and having chats with them very much like this. They were wanting to know. It was a really challenging time. I suppose for me it was the calculation that, again, I could have turned up with them on the lawn, but then I would have effectively been of no use to any other constituents after that. Again, it's perhaps arguably it's only a hypothetical, but my strong sense that, again, eviscerated by media. I mean, it was bad enough, Paul, in the early days when I refused to tell people my vaccination status. I was basically none of your business, my personal health information. But the pile on, you know, myself and other colleagues were being dragged through the media on this private area. And you just realize the power of mainstream media and those narratives. And so, yeah. That was that calculation, if you will. Was this the hill to die on? And I made the decision it wasn't, because I had to find other ways to get my voice and advocacy into the space out there.
Okay, the show, Friday morning show. What are we going to hear from Simon O'Connor on RCR? Give us the name or the working title of the show again.
Well, the working title is Speak Free.
Yeah.
And that really resonates with me as someone who's been a great, and I would argue, consistent champion of free speech, particularly in the parliament and even now. I love debating and discussing ideas. So a big part of the show is really, well, the byline, if you will, the subline is to celebrating values and perspectives. So I'm unashamedly pro our Western democracies and our conservative traditions. You know, we haven't got to the freedoms today by luck, and I want to celebrate those values. But also, Paul, I love different perspectives. So I'm wanting to get an array of guests on to talk, including quite a few from overseas. My first guest is actually the representative or the de facto ambassador from Taiwan. Now, let's hear firsthand, as we're going to, from Joanne. She talks to me about what's happening there. So I want to draw in experiences from overseas so Kiwis can hear them.
It's between 10 and 12, right, on Friday morning. Are you nervous?
Always, someone like you
is not going to be nervous, right?
But, I can't speak for you, Paul, but I mean, I've done lots of public speaking. I very rarely use notes. My producer on the show will probably have kittens thinking about that, but I'm always a little bit nervous.
I know that one. I make them nervous too, so yeah.
I think nerves means you're not taking it for granted.
Creative tension, I think, is probably a better way of putting it.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to take a note of that.
Yeah. And you're happy to be here. Obviously, you wouldn't be coming in. I think our audience are going to really enjoy your program. It adds something great to the lineup, Simon. Please, you're with us. And just shows you how, if I can put in a plug for us, how we're kind of growing.
You are. You are growing. You've had real challenges. It's one of the many reasons I wanted to get involved. You're a platform for perspectives. And the more people try to fight against you, the more I want to be part of it, because actually talking, discussing, debating is just so valuable. And as I say, you've gone through a few rough patches, but here you are. So no, looking forward to joining you all.
All right. So you'll follow me Friday morning. So that's tomorrow. And you'll be regular 10 through 12 every Friday here at RCR. Simon O'Connor joining the team. Thanks for popping in for a quick chat, Simon. Looking forward to the show.
Thanks, Paul. Couldn't think of a better person to be following in the morning.
That's nice. Thank you.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.